here in John 14. The title of my message is a question. Do you need peace? This is for me, and I'm just going to let y'all listen in. Do I need peace? This has been a hard year. I was deployed for 2004 and 2005. And you go on Wikipedia, all those list of cities, that's where I was. Right in the thick of it. And then I was deployed again. The work was a lot easier, but I had a family. I had a wife, three children, and I couldn't hug them. I missed everything for a year. That was hard. This is the hardest year I've ever lived. I think that movie Office Space, he said, every day you see me is a little bit worse than the day before, so every day you see me is the worst day of my life. That's what it feels like. There's a war going on. I need peace. I don't want it. I need it. I need peace. Do you need peace? Here's what the Lord told his apostles. Verse 27, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. We all got a good handle on what that means. Why I said that twice? Let's consider it. I hope the Lord teaches something tonight. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In this world, human beings want peace. We do. We want peace. And whatever we define that as, we want things our way. I want to be happy. You want to be happy? If I had my way, I'd be happy. We think. Human beings want peace. There's a way that seems right unto man. And that's the way we take. If I thought I was doing something wrong, I'd do something different. Wouldn't you? If you know you're doing wrong, would you stop doing it and do something? No, you think you're right. I think I'm right. Man thinks they're right. They want peace. People want world peace. If we could just get this nation back on track. You ever said that? I hear a lot of complaints about the generation that's in charge right now. And all the complaints come from the very generation that raised them. It's your fault. Shut up. You did it. If we could end them wars, get our troops back home. If we could get this nation back on track, get somebody good up there in the government. Want world peace, don't we? Political peace. We want religious peace. Oh, if the Muslims and the Christians could just get along. Or if we could get that Catholic cousin to just kind of bend a little bit and come sit with us. He'd finally get him on board. If we could get that one denomination or that denomination to line up with us, we'd have religious peace. We want, by nature, public peace, don't we? Then my work would be better if everybody get along. My workplace would. Wouldn't it be good to work in a place where everybody just had peace? They wasn't going at each other. Well, what about peace in schools? You talk about a politically charged work environment. Parents are sending their children to school with words on their shirts to provoke a whole generation. They're using their children as pawns in their moral causes. Does that sound peaceful? Sounds selfish. And stupid. That's what it is. That's dumb. Though that it may be a moral cause, still wrong. I want peace in schools, peace in public, peace in religious places, peace in the family. Well, if my family could just get along better. We want that. We want peace in the family. We want financial peace, don't we? There's a whole segment of financial peace. They sell it online. Proven biblical principles. If that's all you got, you just got money. And money can't buy happiness. It can buy comfort. A little bit easier to cry in a Mercedes than it is a cardboard box, isn't it? But money just makes you more of what you already are. If you're stingy, pay somebody's house off and put a bunch of money in their bank, and they'll make two pennies scream, squeeze them together. If they're stingy already. And if they give, they just give it away. If they're happy, they'll be happier. If they're sad, they're going to be sadder. Just makes you more of what you are. Or personal peace. Peace of mind. People say, I can't deal with that stress in my life right now. I can't have that in my personal space. They want peace. Peace of mind. I'd just feel better if I had some personal peace. These are all wants. And all of us may want these things. Natural man does. You got an old nature? It wants these things, don't it? But I can tell you for sure, everybody may want these things. Some may not. Some people shoot up schools. They didn't want peace in school, did they? Some people may not want these things. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. I'll tell you something for sure. Everyone here, everyone that hears my voice, or anybody, whoever I come in contact with, we have a need. Not a want for peace. We have a need for peace. Do you know why all those things I listed, why there's no peace in any of those? I'll tell you the answer. You don't have peace with God. Why do children despitefully use their parents? Why do they cuss their parents? They don't have peace with God. Parents don't have peace with God. They knock a taste out of their mouth. Knock that off. You don't have peace with God. How could you have peace at the home? You don't have peace with God. How could you have peace in a family or a school or a public setting? If you don't have peace with God, natural man, you can't be unevenly yoked. How can two that walk a contrary walk in agreement? You can't. You can't. You might be able to. There are people I can't walk with. They have different gods than I do. They haven't had peace made. God hasn't made peace with them. They might have made their peace with God, but God hasn't made peace with them. You reckon this is important? I care for y'all's souls. I ain't here to just stand up and talk for 30 minutes. There'll come a day I have to give account for what I tell you. My laziness won't be a factor in it. If I have to employ tactics, I will. I want you to get this. You hear me? It may be unpeaceful in here, but you need peace with God. My job ain't to come up here and hold y'all's hands and be your little buddy and sit tea with you. My job is to make sure to keep your soul out of hell. That's my job. Tell you who Christ is, tell you what you are, and maybe God will save you, and we can knock this religion junk off. I care for you. You get that? I'll plead with you. I'm crying. I ain't crying peace where there is no peace. I ain't going to do that. I'll tell you who is peace. Listen, stay with me. This will be important. We need peace with God. What does the Scripture say about all those things I told you? What about peace with the world? In this world, you shall have tribulation. I don't mean you might. If you ain't having tribulation, I worry for your souls. And I don't mean the meter man showed up late. I mean soul trouble. If you ain't got soul trouble, I feel for you. I pray for you. God might save you. What about peace in our homes? Somebody said, well, and I know I have like passion like anybody else, but you think I'm different. And those people we put on pedestals, if you think they're any different, you're a fool. I got a home. People say, well, if the home's squared away, what man thinks in their houses? What did God say? A man's foes shall be they of his own household. What if I live alone? He still wouldn't lie. It's a guy looking in the mirror every day. That's my biggest foe. Our peace of mind, apart from the Lord, by ourselves, personally, our personal peace of mind, what's the Lord say? Every imagination of the thoughts of the heart is only evil continually. We may be okay with evil. We drink it like water, don't we? Do you drink iniquity like water? God says you do. You calling him a liar? We're consumed by our lust, wasn't it? Our master is about to leave these apostles, and he says, peace I leave with you. But this peace he leaves with you, he said, it's my peace. It's my peace. And the world can never give you peace like that. No matter how often they say peace to you. Salam aleikum, aleikum salam. It don't matter. Peace, peace. There's no peace. The world can't give it. He said it's his peace. He owns it. He's the prince of peace. Solomon had the three W's, didn't he? He had wine, wealth, and women. And he said every bit of it's vanity. You can get all the architecture and art you want. It's vanity. Build all the buildings, race all the cars, fly all the airplanes. It's vanity. Stand on all the political online platforms. He had Google back then. He's on Facebook. No, it's vanity. It's all vanity. This whole world is. Oh, Henry T. Mahan said this. The peace of this world is at best external and temporary. But the peace of Christ, it's internal and everlasting. Because it rests on the sure promises of his word and the merits of his blood. And it will strengthen and it will sustain this peace he's talking about. It'll strengthen and sustain his people through any trial. That don't mean the trial's going to go away. He's going to have to give you a trial to show you he's your peace and that he gives it. You get that? It ain't brain science, it ain't rocket surgery. He said it. It's my peace. I give it to you. You're going to need it because you ain't at peace. Lord tells him here, he said, don't be troubled in the heart because I'm leaving. He said, you don't be afraid of any of the dangers you're going to face. Because in the midst of all that danger, in the midst of all that loneliness or whatever, you're going to have my presence, you're going to have my peace. Let not your heart be troubled. I got 3 points for you, and they're going to get shorter as I go along. So I'll try to go fast, okay? First one, peace with God. That's what he gives us. What kind of peace is he giving? He's giving us peace with God. That's the biggest requirement. That's the need that we have. And that'll be the foundation for everything. Peace we need is the peace of God. And it's going to produce in us internal peace. And it's going to produce peace with others. Now that's so. Why do we need peace with God? Because we're born at war with him. I have to tell you these things. If I've been in real war, and I wasn't sitting somewhere changing tires, changing oil for somebody, I was out there in it. And if you fell asleep, I've watched people fall asleep in guard towers, and I know what happens. That's for our good, for their good. You know, wake them up. This is important. For me to fail to warn somebody, tell anybody that you're at war with God unless he makes peace for you. I'm failing at my duties. Why do we need peace with God? We're born at war with him. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Let's do some turning. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans 8, 6. Paul writes here, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You get both of them. We were conceived in sin, the scriptures say. The scriptures say we're born speaking lies. I talk to people on the phone throughout the week, and I'm telling you, they get a handle on these. And then they'll say, oh, brother so-and-so, or, well, my cousin's saved, and they know God. They're born again. They're spiritually minded, but they have no peace. Everybody's been saved forever. You know what I mean? that's too long. I've been saved my whole life. That's too long. We come from the womb speaking lies. We're conceived in sin. We come out of that womb and we're dead in trespasses and sin. Dead. That's no peace. But to be spiritually minded, God has to give us a new mind. That's life. He came to give it more abundantly. And that's peace. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind, that's what we get from Adam, is enmity against God. That means hostility. It's hatred. It's opposition. And it does not say it is at enmity. It says it is enmity all the time. Before God comes to us and declares peace in our hearts, that our warfare is accomplished, we hate God. You're at war with him. And you're going to die. You ain't going to win. I've come publish this peace so people don't meet a holy God that they've offended and perish in their sins forever in eternal damnation. Carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're born with a bad heart, a heart that's at war, and we need peace. How can we have it? We just sang it. We must be born again. There must be a new heart given. The old one ain't worth nothing. It's corrupt. It won't do. A new heart that has a new king. We're our own kings. I've talked to 10 people in the last 2 weeks, and everybody in this state's their own preacher. They're their own prophet. They're their own priest. Their own king. Well, I just make decisions. That's what Korah did. Korah went to him and said, we're all holy. The Lord's with us. Use some words of God deceitfully. And the Lord said, hey, Moses, y'all stand out the way. I'm going to swallow them up. And Moses petitioned for him. I said, well, Moses was the meekest man alive. Go ask Pharaoh if Moses was weak, meek. No. He was meek. He wasn't timid. We need to get a dictionary. That was a man. We need a new king, not ourselves. We need a new country, a new heart, a new king, a new country of allegiance that we are allegiant to. We need a new citizenship, his kingdom. That's the only way we can have peace. How can this peace be made? Turn to the right just a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. How can peace ever be made? Sin's going to have to be dealt with, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, born again, new heart. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. He's done all this. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Reconciles a change. That means to bring together. A reconciler is a peacemaker. He's the peacemaker. That's what it said in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. He's the blessed man, isn't he? Christ, by that covenant in his blood, by bearing our enmity, he bore our hatred. You get that? Not just the things we thought we did good. He bore that. Our evil hearts, our evil deeds, and he made us at peace. He made us clean. He made us presentable in God's sight. How? Paul's going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you. That's my job now. Ain't his job no more. He wrote it. Now my job is to tell you. Peace I leave you is what the Lord said, wasn't it? We have this peace in earthen vessels. He's left it to us to tell others. He said, I gave it to you. It's in me. And he left some. It ain't going to run out. I can tell everybody about it. Here's where peace can be found. Come have him. Drink freely. Come to it. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I have this peace. I'm going to go tell people about peace. Christ did all this and sent somebody to tell you about it. And then mankind's got the nerve to charge him with folly. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, not taking inventory. That's what the word means. It's already there. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto them this word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. I'm an ambassador of his government, his kingdom, to go into all the world. I'm supposed to go in behind enemy lines. That's your job. God told you to do something. We preach Christ and him crucified. As though we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us. That was Korah's problem. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. Is that what it says? Be ye reconciled to God. I say it. Be at peace with him. I pray to God he put peace in your heart. And make you quit fighting him. And you can't fight him. You can't hit him. So people just take it out on his prophets. That's all right. I can handle it. And they take it out on the preacher's family and the preacher's kids and the preacher's car. His inbox on his email and everything else. That's all right. I can handle it. He gave me thick skin. I want peace. I want you to have peace. He's going to deal with it. In Exodus 34, it says, he keeps mercy for thousands, forgiver in iniquity and transition and sin, but that by no means will clear the guilty. He's going to visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, and unto the third and fourth generation he's going to do it. Uh-oh, this ain't pretend. Sin has to be dealt with, doesn't it? God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. I'll tell you something I've heard horribly. They said, well, we love the sinner and hate the sin, right? Is that what God does? We're to do that, because the Lord may save that sinner. What about him? He doesn't say he's angry with the wickedness every day. He's angry with the wicked every day. Because the Father gave his only begotten Son is the only reason he can establish his justice, be just, deal with this sin, and still have peace with us. Christ had to be our propitiation. He had to be our mercy seat. The go-between that's the acceptable bloody sacrifice. Paul said in Romans 3, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Look at verse 21. For he hath made him sin for us. That's the feminine noun, not a verb, a noun. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's at peace. We was at war. War's over. He won it. Now there's peace. And we're made righteous in him. Knowing this is true, that it's given. He gives us that peace. What'd you do? Nothing. He said, I'm giving it to you. It's mine. I'm going to give you peace. It's finished. And it's just. This is right. Knowing that, Paul said, there's therefore now no condemnation. No more war, no more punishment, no more death to them which are in Christ Jesus. Peace is his, and he gave it willingly. Why would he do such a thing? Why would he do something? Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He wanted to. He's God. He does what he wants. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He was grace that did this, that gave us this peace. And it's we're going to glorify him because of it. And he's made us accepted in Christ, in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption. We've been accepted and we've been redeemed. That's peace. Ain't no payment left. And that's where we are. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to how much peace we got, according to the riches of his grace. It ain't going to run out. It is the Lord Jesus Christ's peace, true peace, that he gives to his people. Peace with God. And what he's given to us, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means God ain't going to turn back on the gifts that he gave his people if he's given life. And I tell you something else. The other side of that coin is if God's going to give you peace, you're going to take it. I don't want it. Yeah, well, you're getting it. He'll break you. Show you you're at war with him, and then you'll be tickled to death to latch on that peace. What's that produce? We have peace with God. What's that produce? Internal peace. Internal peace. When this work is done in us, the Lord speaks his word to our hearts. We don't memorize doctrine and memory verses. God speaks to the heart of his people. And he speaks peace. He speaks comfort. He says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Here's what God says. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Well, how can I speak comfortably if I cry? Speaking comfortably is speaking to the heart. I can't do that. I can speak to your ears. I'll make everybody stand up and then we'll be awake. We can drink water and do push-ups. I'll have your attention. Only God can speak to the heart. Comfortably. He said, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. And my job is to cry. I'll yell or plead or weep or whatever I got to do, whatever he puts in my heart. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished. What happens when the war's over? That's called peace. Peace. That's real peace. That ain't peace, peace, where there is no peace. Everything else is charlatans. It's a lie. You get that? That her iniquity's pardoned. That's got me this week, too. What's something? I've just been itching. I didn't hold Kimberly. You ready? He said, crying to her, Jerusalem, crying to her, her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. It didn't say that her iniquity, her request for her pardon has been approved. She didn't even ask for it. He just showed up and said, peace. I didn't even know we was at war. You're about to. Your iniquity has been pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hands double for all her sins. We have the remission of sins and a holy nature and that can never sin again. What do I have to do to get that? Already yours. He shows you at war. He says, peace. War's over. It's done. He's just telling you what's finished. Does that set you in awe? Or is it old hat? Sets me in awe. Christ accomplished peace for his people. It's awesome. It's of awe. When we see that war and the enmity that we were, that he made peace for us. Willingly. Not begrudgingly. Willingly. Out of love. Out of his just grace. Because he wanted to. You want to get to know him? Don said that one time. He said, you reckon if we was taking our final exams out of this book, we'd crack it open every now and then? I got a whole list of verses on peace. I got to whittle them down some. Remember our Lord sleeping on that pillow in the rear of the ship? And aft of the ship, where it's the roughest, he's asleep. They're scared to death. Professional fishermen scared to death. He got up and they said, "We're going to die. Don't you care?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said into the sea, "Peace, be still." And it ceased. He told the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." And it went away. It went away. And they feared exceedingly. They were in awe. And said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's carnal. But I get it. If I was on that boat, I'd be shocked. They were in awe. They were in reverence. They were in adoration. How much more should we be? They saw the waves stop and they saw the wind quit blowing. We've seen what's done, what that meant. Christ has made peace for us in that great wind of the Word of God that was given to us over and over again in His creation and His written Word that we spit on. His Word, His law, His person, His lordship. And Christ came and in our stead He fulfilled every jot and tittle in perfect obedience, honoring His Father in love. Our lack of peace is when we have a lack of faith to look to Him alone. He said, "Why do you have so little faith?" Well, He's looking at everything around us, not Him. Not the Prince of Peace. He's made peace of the waves. He made peace of the wind, the Lord's Word that we've ignored and spit on. And He made peace with the waves of wrath that we rightfully deserved, that judgment. We were fighting God, honoring ourselves. And the whole time while we were enemies, Christ bore all of our judgment. God turned His back on God. Go read Matthew 27 when you get home. See how it makes you feel. Now we're holy because of it. Holy. Our new creation lived a righteous life that we didn't live. It's yours. You lived it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And we forever will live a righteous life because He's made us holy. And there's no person, no punishment that will ever be needed because we have a holy nature that cannot sin. Paul said in Colossians 1, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies," enemies are in a war. They hate the other side, ready to die for it. "You were enemies in your mind by wicked works. Now have He reconciled." He's made peace. Where? "In the body of His flesh through death." What for? "To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." That's good news. He speaks that to our heart. This internal peace. It's not just for future promises. When that judgment day comes, I got an insurance policy. No, it's right now. We experience that right now. How do I experience this peace of Almighty God doing all this for me and Him being on His throne? Shoe leather. Y'all, you with me? Pay attention. God's given us peace in His providence. If you get this, take this for the rest of the week with you. This will help you get through the week. If God's made peace, if He's made peace with Himself for us, and He speaks it to our heart, He gives us that now because we have peace with His providence. We don't think it often, but it's so. Before God saved you, you never had that. Some of you don't have it now. We fought God's providence. We fought it tooth and toenail. And we prayed against it. "Oh, Lord, don't let this happen. Lord, heal so-and-so. Lord, let's get us a prayer chain. It takes us 30 minutes to read it." Now we're thankful for it. We weep. We shave our head. We rip our clothes off. And we mourn. But God sent it. It's right. God did it. God did it. Job said that. He said, "The beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee." And Exodus said, the children came out of Israel, or came out of Egypt, and it said, "Against the children of Israel will not a dog move his tongue against man or beast." That ain't going to happen. Nothing's going to happen to you that you may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. We're going to know we're at peace. He's going to prove it to us in His providence. Well, what about the bad stuff? What about stuff what man calls bad? What if I do get bit by a dog? You've been asked that question? I have. They said the tongue wasn't wagging. I got bit. Well, I got bit too, buddy. I think Lola's bit half people in this room. What if I get bit? We still know the peacemaker. And we know He's on His throne. We know He sent it, and it's for our good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to His purpose. Old Brother Spurgeon said this. He goes, "Providence that was once estranged and seem to work counter to our welfare. Everything in life's going wrong. Everything's going bad. Ain't no good in it. Now has become peace with us. I'm going to have a surgery on my leg soon. I'll find out next Monday or Tuesday. And then I'm going to have about 4 crowns put in my head. And I'd rather get beat with a garden hose than go in that dentist's office. Don't want to do none of it. It's right. God sent it. I'm at peace with it. I may flinch, but I know who sent it. I know who the peacemaker is. Well, what if I fall away from this peace? What if I go back to war? Well, if I cannot keep the peace? Let me tell you, number one, you can't. You can't maintain peace. And number two, when we sin, that word if is when. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Here's what Jude said. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Falling what? Back into war. Back into hatred. Back into the lack of having a father. The lack of sonship. And present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Let's praise him. What? How about, thank you, Lord. What if? What if we prayed to him and thanked him right now? What about that? Peter said, the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after that you've suffered for a little while. How am I going to know about this peace? You're going to have some more. You're going to suffer a little bit. You'll be all right. Oh, this trial's terrible. Yeah, you'll be all right. If you're his. If you ain't his, it ain't going to be all right. Come Monday, everything ain't going to be all right. He said, after you suffer a while, he'll make you perfect. He'll establish, strengthen, and settle you. That means give you peace and rest. Now, having peace with God. Christ made peace with us, for us, gave it to us. He says, here it is. We have that now. He gave it to us internally. We have peace in us. He spoke it to our hearts. Now, we have also peace in death. Peace in death. The Lord spoke of those righteous dying in Isaiah 7. He said, he shall enter into peace, and they shall rest in their beds. What about when this life's over? That's all right. The dying means I'm not too fond of. I don't want to hurt. I'm a big baby. Hence the knee and the teeth. I don't want to. But the act of dying, I saw a man on TV today. He's absolutely terrified of doctors. There's a doctor show. I said, why would you do it on TV? And he said, I'm scared. There's sick people there. He said, I might die. I know people scared to death. You know people that's scared to death to die. You know why? They don't have no peace with God. He hasn't gave it to them internally. He hasn't revealed it to them. The believer has peace in death because of what the Lord says, isn't it? Paul said, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's where we say to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Paul said, we're willing. Is that what? We'll look it up later. I'll send you the note. Paul said, we're willing. I don't remember remembering this, but maybe I've seen it before. It's fresh today. So, or the other day, I saw it. The Lord said about that beggar Lazarus that died, said it came to pass the beggar died. It's in Luke 16:22. And he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Oh, he didn't go to the Lord. He didn't get carried away. He didn't have peace. He went into a cold hole in the ground waiting judgment. That's the difference, isn't it? Revelation 14, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. You can have peace from everything you've been doing. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Paul said there's a war in our members. Yes. Yes, he did. But in war, you have moments of peace. When you're not fighting, you didn't have that war before. You was at war with God. Now you got a war inside. And when you're at war, you're not fighting or watching or working all the time. When I was at war, there's times I ate. There's times I slept. There's times I watched a couple movies. I went to a movie theater in Baghdad. I did maintenance. How could I have peace in a time of war when there's members inside of me that's at war? The captain of our salvation, he doesn't slumber nor sleep. He doesn't. He's the peacemaker. I got to go through it. He's the one that's going to make peace in me. That's how we can have peace while our war rages in us. That lulls the battle. You have a lull in the battle when you come here? You see Him? Does He speak peace to you and you forget about the war that's going on? And you just see Him. I like Him. I love Him. I want to know more about Him. That's a lull in the battlefield, isn't it? He ain't sleeping. He ain't slumbering. He's on His throne, ruling and reigning, interceding for us, isn't He? Peace with God. He gives eternal peace, dying peace. And then we have peace with others. Having peace that Christ made for us with God, that peace given to us, we want to give that peace to others that are still enemies and still aliens to God. How can we do such a thing? The believer knows that God's the first cause of everything. Man might be the second cause. God's the first cause. Well, man killed Christ. Yeah, by the determinate counsel of full knowledge of God, didn't it? Wicked hands have slew him. God's the first cause of everything. So those people that are against us, our enemies, and that we're at war with in the workplace and this and that, and you make a list, school, and everything else. God's the first cause. He's doing this for my good, for my eternal peace. And two, they're sinners just like me. They're at war. They're dead in trespasses and sins, and they think because they breathe, they think because they got eyes that open and close, they can see. They think because they have ears that can hear it when I do this, that they hear. They think because they own a Bible and they memorize some verses, they're presuming their salvation, not possessing it. And I wasn't no different. I stayed up real late at night and arguing people about five-point Calvinism. I wasn't apologizing to nobody. And God saved me. Did you know that? So, we speak so the Lord may be pleased to speak to the hearts of others. We cry, peace is a person. Give me, buddy. Peace is a person. Don't let nobody tell you nothing different. And His peace is the only true peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Those that cry, that's all of us. I wrote an article, my bulletin's done for the week. I wrote an article in it. Well, I did that because I could be down here for the time being. I go to my office and study and write these things. We publish these things. We cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. To who? I don't know. My job is to cry. My job ain't sort nobody. And I thought of this. Paul said this in Romans 10. He said, how shall they preach except they be sent? How are we going to cry? Tell people the person of peace. Maybe he'll cry in their heart. As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. What's that? Their foundation, the providence that brought them. What they brought up on, what they're stable on, settled on, and bring glad tidings of good things. Paul said, how beautiful are the feet of them. What makes their feet so beautiful? Paul misspoke. Did you know that? What does it say in Isaiah 52? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. Mike, David Pledger stood where I stand right now and told you that about 10 years ago. I stole it. I hope somebody steals it from me one day. How beautiful the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Those that have beautiful feet that cry peace in this world, they're just telling you of a person who is our peace. I pray we could do that. Wouldn't that be something? What if the Lord was to use us to save some of his, those that are in enemies with him, that despitefully use him and despitefully breathe all his air, live on his earth, eat all his vegetables? Well, it'd be peace if the Lord saved them. You reckon that mean old boss you had, Matt? God save that fellow? You wouldn't have no problems with him. Easy peasy, wouldn't it? Paul told us in Romans 12, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. And we remember that the best of men are men at best. We were no different. Ain't that right, Deanne? Let me read something to you. We know that peace. He's made peace with us with God, gave it to us. We have it inside. Now we want peace with others. We want personal peace, don't we? Well, we got it. I want family peace. Well, now we have it. Now the Lord's the head of this house. Christ and his church is not like a husband and a wife. A husband and wife are supposed to be like Christ and his church. You get that? Peace in the schools. God rules and reigns. Them old Amish fellas, some fellow went in there and shot up, killed like 13 of her kids in Pennsylvania years ago. They were wrong, but they acted like men and women that believed God. And they had funerals and they dusted themselves off. They patched the holes up and they went back to school the next week. God did it. We have peace in that. Public peace. What about our work environment? That's politically charged. Maybe God will save them. God's brought a couple of them here, ain't he? God may save some of them. What about world peace? One day we'll wake up in a new kingdom. What peace that'll be. You know? Oh, it'll be something. After I got through, I went home and I thought, I wonder what old Webster says about peace. You know how much time I'd have saved if I'd looked that up first? Peace is a state of tranquility or quiet. Freedom from civil disturbance. Freedom from disquieting or oppression thoughts and emotions. That's peace in the heart. Harmony in personal relations with one with another. And a state or period of mutual concord between governments. I once was my own head, and now I have a new head. And then peace as a verb. This is the obsolete definition, and what a travesty it is for those that speak English to keep quiet or silent. God gave me peace by shutting me up to sin so he could tell me about the peace he made between me and God. Wouldn't that be something? Hold our peace? That used to be something people said, wouldn't it? I wish I could quit talking about me and talk about him. That'd be peaceful, wouldn't it? All right, Brother Mike.